Welcome to the first episode of the Rooks Health Podcast with your host, me, Farooq Bello. I'm a physiotherapist in England. And so today we have another physiotherapist who has over 10 years of experience. He's also a sports therapist and his specialty is running. He treats runners. He is a runner himself and he's also a Nike running coach. So as you can tell, he knows what he's saying about running. And we talk a lot about the common myths about running. We debunk those, and we also give some explanations on some of the general running questions I think most people do have. I myself learned a lot through this episode, so I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. All right, welcome, Manny, to the Rooks Health Podcast. So how are you doing today?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Not bad. So we have a lot of things, a few things I want to discuss today and I'll talk to you about, particularly about running. But I'll let you introduce yourself first so that people can know who you are and what you kind of do.
Sure. My name's Emmanuel. People call me Manny. I'm a Nike running coach, a physiotherapist, and I also work in the kind of youth sector, helping young people in youth centres. So I do quite a lot. But I would say that, you know, I'm also a runner and I take on as many things as possible because I feel it's always a good way to live your life, to ensure the creativity, taking on different roles and different aspects of the world.
Okay. That's actually good. So the main thing we want to focus on today is the running. So I have a very important question that I've got a lot of times. I'm sure you've got a lot of times about running. Is running bad for you?
So I think there's a misconception about running because it's very difficult that people think it's bad because running seems so easy to get into. All you have to do is you have to put your shoes on and go outside. But structure with running is very difficult. It's very bespoke. So that's why I coach runners. So my coaching started with people who were injured and they kept coming back to me and saying, how much should I run? When should I run? Because of their injuries. Then it progressed to performance. The problem with running is that if you do too much too quickly, you quickly know that you've done too much. It doesn't take long for you to overdo it. And we've always had a misconception, predominantly because of medical professionals' advice, that running will damage your knees and damage your joints. That's not necessarily true. It all depends on how much you run, how far you run within a particular time. Just like anything, your body needs time to accommodate for the new sport. So imagine you were swimming and you started trying to swim 2 kilometers in the first 6 weeks. You'd die, wouldn't you? You'd drown. Whereas with running, the only thing that you've got as an indicator is pain, and sometimes you can push through that pain. So people tend to push through the pain and that gives them sometimes a sense of achievement, but actually they need to get to a point where they have, you know, they realize they don't need to push as much. I always tell people, when you're running, you're better off doing 40% of what you can on that day rather than always trying to get to 100%. You're better off doing more days where you're staying within 40 to 60% of your capacity. So if you can do 30 days where you're 40 to 60% of your capacity, it's better than doing one day where you're at 90% and then you can't run for a week.
Yeah, because that's actually an interesting one because for me, I kind of just go into running and I've been running a bit more now. But I used to have a lot of knee pain. And me, obviously, I'm a physio. I know like what to do, obviously, the physio aspect, how to kind of like treat yourself in a while, what you should be doing. But that's a lot of things people actually have. Like the big problem is when you start having like knee pains, what do you do? would you say they just push through the knee pain, or depending on how the pain is that you would need to probably seek like professional medical help, or is this just generic, or you just started running, you just regular knee pain? Or would you say like someone just starting running?
No, I think there's lots of different factors. So one factor is definitely how much you've run since you started running. So a lot of people, I put them on a time plan. So 25 minutes to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that will be their session. And they will do that 3 or 4 times in a week. And they'll continue on that for a month. So we need to think about, because what a lot of people do sometimes is when they start running, they go from 30 minutes to, okay, I want to run 5K. Then I want to run 8K. Then I want, and that they're doing all of that within a month. So they've never given their body time to acclimatize or accommodate. So I'd say the training plan is one thing. Physiotherapy is really important, but all physios are different. So with my experience, having treated over 100,000 runners. Now, I will look for specific things. So your muscle endurance of your calf muscles, your thigh muscles and your glute muscles. So there are specific tests we can do to identify where your strength is. And then we can look at your balance and control. And then we can look at your landing. And all of these things will give us indications of where we need to work. I would say that it's really important for us to take in consideration your whole athletic ability. So it's not as simple as just strength. It's strength, control, dynamic movement, landing, knee control. There's lots to take into
different factors to accommodate. So actually, for someone who's just like trying to get into running, starting to running, because they've probably heard, oh, running is bad for your knees, it's not good for you. Like, and also another quick one is actually surface of running. That one is one. So what the different surfaces? Because I've heard, even from I have a bias. I try and run on grass as opposed to concrete, just because I think probably should do more research on it. Like, well, I'm here now. Is running on concrete is bad for your knees on hard surfaces? So advisably run on grass. Because when I grew up in Nigeria, most of the time you're either running in a field, which is grass, which I think that's the better option. But am I wrong? Is that a misconception? Different surfaces.
So it all depends on, again, how quickly you start running on those different surfaces. So if you're running on concrete and you do 100 miles in 3 months, that's going to be really bad for your joints, no matter who you are. You know, because if you just started, your body has not built up a callus. It hasn't built up a way to combat and to manage that. The research shows that people who had arthritis in their knees, the people who were running, and this is predominantly on concrete, people who were running had less signs of arthritis than people who weren't running.
People who were running. Oh, okay.
So what that showed is that the body had built up, because we know if you put the body under stress, if you push the body under certain lines of stress, it will rebuild. So it reforms and it develops a stronger callus. So your bones, your bone density actually increases because you use the road. So I would say it's not definitive. You can't just say running on the road will, you know, damage your knees. I think if you run on the road and you haven't been doing that, you've been in Nigeria and running on grass or running on dirt, then yes, if you run on concrete, then you probably will have some discomfort. I've been running on the road, on pavement all my life, and a lot of people who run in London are the same.
Yeah.
So they will be used to that. Now, if you put them on grass, it doesn't mean that they're going to get injured. It's just that their body will definitely react differently to the grass. So there's not enough evidence to say that running on concrete is a detrimental factor. I think the evidence more is if you're experienced, you tend to run better. You tend to run within your ability, and you can prevent injury more because you understand your body better. I think you need to take into account that, different surfaces produce different challenges. So no matter who you are, if you go from concrete, if you take a London runner, put them in Kenya, they may get injured because that road is softer. Yeah. They're not, their body's not used to it. The muscle forces will be different. The challenges to the muscle and the body and the biomechanics will be different.
Yeah. So, cause I know, I remember I saw a little, like on a little thing where I saw the arm of a baseball player, his throwing arm, like the density was a lot more than the non-throwing arm. That like, that shows that what's it called? Like his body is kind of, his arm is adapted to that amount of force.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the same thing with the joints and the bones where your knees and every, your bones start to adapt. But obviously it depends if you start switching from surface to surface abruptly over a long period of time. That's when you, that's an important one. Cause now I'm in London, to be honest. So I've just, I more or less, I have to run on concrete, you know what I mean? I have to run on the pavement if you want to start running. But one thing I noticed when I started running, and I think I've heard a few people say it, is like, if you just start running, if you maybe haven't started running before and you start, your muscles start getting a lot itchy and very painful. Mm. I don't know, if that's a common thing you heard, like if you hear when, because I remember if I don't run for like, let's say 3 months or a long time when I start running, all my muscles start burning. So I think that, I don't know if that plays into the part of like slowly starting off at one level and then picking it up and increasing it at a, like a graduated pause, because I think in 1 month, as you said, it's too short of a time to jump from like couch straight all the way to running 10K.
Yeah. So I use time is such an important thing to use. So time allows you to identify, time is a variable that stays the same. So what that means is that no matter how tired you are or healthy you are or fit you are, time will always still stay the same. So if you've had a long day at work, you're not going to run as fast as if it's if you're fresh in the morning. So that's really important. So that's the reason why I use time.
Are there what's it called, like is there any research that shows different times of running affects the body in different ways, like morning running, afternoon running, late night running, or does it make a difference?
It all depends on the person. So you could run in the morning, early in the morning, but you may not have eaten, or you haven't fueled that well. So that's going to affect your running. It all depends on the person. So I would say there isn't evidence that shows that people improve significantly by training at a certain time. There's no evidence. So the key thing is that you should train at the time that's best for you.
Okay, that's fair enough, actually. And how do you recover from a run? Like when you finish running, so I just ran, let's say, 10K or like a 5K, and I finish my run, what would you do? What would you recommend to stop straight after you finish? And like,
So I think consuming some source of protein is really, really important, along with water. So I have a protein shake, but you can have milk or yogurt. Those are really important. And then water, obviously, to make sure you hydrate. So I think the other thing is trying to do some sort of strength work. So some sort of glute or kind of calf work to ensure that you fatigue the muscles. So they know that, they need to be nice and strong. I'm not, there's no evidence for stretching. So I don't stretch. I make sure I have enough sleep, so probably about 8 to 10 hours sleep a night if I can. The key thing is just like not too many stimulus. I think stimulus is quite important. So trying to limit how much stimulus you have.
You see, when you said, as soon as you said stretching, I laughed because I've basically I did like a whole dissertation on a bit of stretching, because I, there's always a hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh yeah, because there's always a lot of like debate about whether people still stretch till now. I used to stretch until I actually started doing physio, and then I have to start looking at evidence and looking at research, and then like the overwhelming consensus is that stretching doesn't really do much for you. Although like people still, like before when I was growing up, I knew, you always stretch before. Like do static stretches before, and then you do static stretches after again. You stretch. But now I'm realizing that I don't think at both points, I don't know how beneficial it is. It might just be a personal feel good thing. So what are your thoughts on stretching after? What about dynamic stretches after?
I think dynamic stretches are probably for before. before. In my opinion, especially if you, so if I've been sat at a desk and then I'm going for a training session, then yeah, I'll do dynamic stretches before. But I think static stretches have a place in some individuals who get who get fatigue, like they get quite a large amount of fatigue. So so they sometimes will get some muscle spasm. So if somebody gets muscle spasm or delayed onset muscle soreness, I think sometimes to relieve some of the discomfort, I would provide that person with stretches.
Okay, that's fair. That's, to be honest. And you know the, what's it called? The metaphorical, like the barrier of running. As you said before, like sometimes if you're feeling pain, you probably need to give it rest. But is, are there times where you should push on? Like if you're running and you know you're aiming for a goal, are there times you should push on? Or what point should you be like, okay, let me stop and give my body a rest? What time should you be like, no, I have to fight through this brick wall of tiredness and keep on going forward?
I think the more trained of an athlete you are or a runner, I think the more you realize that that threshold. I can't tell everybody the same, like nobody can have the same advice. That's the hardest thing about running. And that's what people, I think, find really difficult, because you can't really give everybody the same advice. It's beneficial to an extent, but a lot of the time people will need bespoke advice. Okay. So in terms of pushing through, it's dependent. It's dependent how much you've been running, when you've been running, what injuries you have had. All these things give us information. So I would say it depends, yeah. Which is a tough answer. But yeah, I think, you know, it's all about learning your body, learning your body and your mind and how they work. So.
Like I said, fair enough. It varies person to person, like what you should do.
Exactly. But,
so the average runner, what are the little factors that, because me obviously it's physio mind. I know if someone comes in and they're having like running related issues, I haven't had much experience. You have probably have more. There are some little factors that you can, as a person, you can try and like change, like shoes. You can like try and look at other person's shoes, not very good. Do those play a significant role? Like shoes, the way you run, if you're taking longer steps or shorter steps, which one is more beneficial?
Well, there's a myriad of things. So what we look at is basically what somebody has been doing up to this point, and we try and identify if there was a causative factor and then change one of those factors. So I don't think we can say specifically any one of those things are specifically for everybody going to cause them injury, but we need to look at them. So we would look at somebody's shoes, look at how they run. I think one of the things that definitely will need to be looked at in everybody that gives us a reason for injury is muscle strength endurance. So looking at people's calf raises, so how many calf raises can they do? How many like side planks can you do? How strong one leg is compared to the other? We know that strength of 1.5 body weight, one leg compared to the other is quite important. So if you can push on leg press 1.5 times your body weight, it's a good indicator of your strength. So that's probably where I'd go. I mean, shoes, definitely. If you wear shoes that are low profile, so have a thin sole, that can predispose you to injuries in your calf. If you wear shoes that are high profile, they tend to thick sole, they tend to transfer the forces to your knees. So shoes are important. In terms of stride, we know if we change your cadence by about 5 to 7%, we can change what happens in terms of your knees. So by changing cadence 5 to 7%, you can actually reduce the ground reaction force and the ground contact time because you are taking quicker steps. So increasing your cadence can reduce knee pain.
That was similar to the advice I got from like a long distance runner. She was like, maybe try taking shorter steps. Just if you start feeling what's it called, like pains and knee pains, see if that helps. And to be honest, it did help. To be honest, the shoes one, I noticed it myself because I used to use like air bubble shoes, And then I realized that I still had knee pain. Then I just changed to like a free run shoes. I think a bit like not too thick, but they were a bit thick. And actually the knee pain actually stopped. So I actually have no problem running anymore. What about energy drinks? What would you recommend as a good hydration? Because people I've heard before, just drink some water, take some water. Some people say like take Lucozade, energy drinks, things like that. Some people just say salt, Himalayan salt and water or vitamin water. What's the ideal way to get well to hydrate while running, or should you not even hydrate at all?
I use something called Mountain, which is it's like been used by most marathon runners, which is a hydrogel. So it's like it's got glucose in it, and it's a gel that basically allows for replenishment of your energy stores and electrolytes. There's also something called Totem, which is like a drink which has got electrolytes in it and salts in it. And I think you need some sort of drink with electrolytes. That's important. And you need some drink with glucose. I think water is obviously essential, and we don't drink enough as much as we need. I think that's a big thing. And making sure you also take on board some protein at some point. Because if you don't take in on enough protein, your body doesn't repair. And in runners, that's quite common. So your body goes into something called a catabolic state. So basically it starts to eat away at your muscles. So I would definitely say those things are important. So electrolytes, enough water. I think we drink water, but maybe not enough. Some sort of glucose drink and some sort of protein drink.
Okay. Protein drink particularly. You said yogurt things. Like a banana is a good, is that a good one? Because I know that has energy. Is that a good one for runners?
Like if you there's no protein in bananas. Oh no, I mean like that's the issue. But potassium, yeah, it's got potassium, but potassium and sodium, but I mean you need to get some real kind of large density macro calories. Like macros. So macros are like your overall. So I think like overall you wanna try and get some real electrolytes, some proteins, some glucose.
Okay. And for someone,
they will help fuel you.
For someone who is just do you have like any advice, or like if you want to sway someone who is not into running about the benefits of running, how would you do that? Like telling them why it's good to hop on and start running, and what are the health benefits that you can get from both short distance running, sprinting, and long distance running?
Running allows you to basically utilize almost every muscle in your body. You can increase your bone density, and it allows you to basically improve most aspects of your health. So it's free as well. You know, you don't really have to pay much for running. It also challenges you mentally as well as physically, because it's about, you know, having that determination in terms of when it's difficult and you're finding it hard to breathe, all those types of things. So what I would say is that running is a really great sport, and you should try and ensure that you do that as much as you can. I genuinely think that you have to take time with running. It's about a slow progress rather than, you know, you almost don't get better with running until about 2 to 3 years in. And that's hard for people to realize. So,
that's a long pill. Two more things before. What's it called? Sprinting. So what actually benefits of sprinting? Because I've been seeing like a lot of like stuff, little bits and bobs on it, but I want to know is how good is sprinting for you? Like what does it actually do? I know I'm not sure if it does stuff for like injury prevention for hamstrings, or what does it actually do, sprinting itself, like short bursts? Because I know people do, I say they'll do sprint for a minute, walk for a minute, sprint for a minute, walk for a minute. What is that actually doing? Is that actually beneficial?
Yeah, sprinting is important because it allows you to build capacity, strength. Sprinting is building something called the stretch shortening cycle. So it improves your muscle strength. So when we stretch a muscle and it shortens, this is a really easy way for us to utilize energy stored in muscles. So yeah, the stretch shortening cycle is incredible, and sprinting helps bolster that. If you can run faster, you should be, you will be able to run longer because you have more capacity. So you get something called you get like efficiency. If you run faster, you get efficiency. So for each step, you use less energy.
Okay, so it translates. So if you're into long distance or trying to get into running, you should start trying to incorporate some form of sprinting into your routine. That's good. But this last part is actually for me. So I started the what's it called, the Nike running 100 kilometers in a month. I started about 10 mm-hmm. days late, and I have 20 days to do it. And I didn't run so much before. I used to play like other sports, play basketball a lot, and other endurance sports. And I used to pick up running. 20 days, is that a realistic time frame, or is that advisable? Because I'm starting to feel it. Yesterday, I think 2 days ago, I did like a 10K. Yesterday.
Are you doing any strength work?
Yeah, I do squats.
Single. Yeah, so there's other things that you need to probably be doing, like specific to muscles that are supportive for your knees. So that's what I would say. So we'll have a chat after the call.
All right. No problem. No problem, Manny. Thank you very much. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to the Rooks Health Podcast, as there is a part 2 of the conversation with Manny, which will be coming out next week. And if you have any questions, feel free to send a message at Rooks Health on all social media platforms, as well as you can also leave a comment and critiques. I do take critiques. If you have anything to say, send me a message. I do appreciate it because I'm always trying to get better. Thank you very much for listening, and I do appreciate you taking your time. Till next week on the Rooks Health Podcast.